We're turning this afternoon to the book of 2 Corinthians and the chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians and the chapter 5. We want to read from the verse 17. Then we'll enter into the 6th chapter for a few verses. And so 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and we'll begin reading at the verse 17 of the chapter. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For ye said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen. With God's word opened and having now been read, shall we unite in prayer and go to the throne of grace and just ask the Lord for his help and his enablement as the word of God is preached in this gospel service. Let's pray. Loving Father, we now commit ourselves to thee entirely, body, soul and spirit. I commit all to the altar of God. I say in the words of the hymn writer, O see us on the altar lay. My life, my all, this very day, to crown the offering now I pray. Send the fire, send the Holy Ghost, O gracious Father. Fill this preacher with thy spirit. Touch these lips, I cry to thee. And give clarity of thought and of speech. And may we stand. And may we view eternal things. And may many be brought to know Christ as Savior. We offer prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Build back better. It's a three-worded slogan that we're going to be hearing over and over again in coming weeks, months, and years. Some credit the coining of the phrase to our British Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. However, he admitted on record that he had taken this slogan from someone else. The phrase, in fact, has been used down through the years with regard to disaster relief. And even in connection with COVID-19, it has been used. And so, Boris Johnson was not the first to coin the phrase, build back better. Soon after the coronavirus began sweeping the globe, multilateralists began to use the term. For example, on the 18th of March 2020, the CEO of the World Resources Institute, a man by the name of Andrew Steer, said, crisis can bring people together or push them apart. They can lead to cynicism and a loss of faith in institutions, or to a deeper understanding of risk and determination to build back better. Prime Minister Johnson first quoted the slogan publicly on the 28th of May 2020 when he told a UN financing event, once we move beyond the emergency phase, we owe it to future generations to build back better and base our recovery on solid foundations. The idea behind the phrase is that We're starting at such a level of devastation within every sector of our society because of COVID-19 that the future requires a building up of that which has been destroyed, annihilated, but building in a much better way so that it meets now the needs of 21st century living, the needs of the present and also the future generations of our nations. This goal to build back better is most certainly going to be employed in the reform that is coming to the National Health Service. Just a few weeks ago, on Thursday the 11th of February 2021, the government published a white paper entitled Integration and Innovation, Working Together to Improve Health and Social Care for All. That white paper sets out a roadmap to reform the NHS in England so that health and care services can work more closely together. However, Her Majesty's official opposition, the Labour Party, have criticised the government as to the timing of the changes, stating that now is not the time for such a reform to be taking place, especially when our nation is in the middle of the biggest public health crisis that our NHS has ever faced, and whenever the staff within the health service are at the point of exhaustion. Responding to their criticism, Matt Hancock, the health secretary, said that there was no better time than now for the reforming of the NHS. No better time than now, he said. It's a statement that could be written over the text that we're going to consider in this gospel meeting, the words of which we have in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verse 2. For he has said, I have heard in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today I want us to consider this text, primarily the latter part of it, and preach a gospel message that I've entitled, No Better Time Than Now. No Better Time Than Now. Addressing my remarks then to those who are not yet saved, in the first place I want to say to you that there's no better time than now for you to be saved, because too much time has already been wasted by you. There's no better time than now to be saved, because too much time has already been wasted by you. Time is one of the most precious commodities that God has given to the human race. Sadly, we find ourselves wasting so much of our time on pointless activities, like watching television, scrolling down and updating our social media, checking emails, surfing the World Wide Web, playing computer games, worrying, shopping, and many other things. In 2016, there was a study conducted with regard to 100,000 people with respect to their phone devices over a 5-day period. By tracking every tap, swipe, and click that the participants made on their smartphones, researchers were able to deduce that the average user touched their phone some 2,617 times every day. That's almost 2.5 hours of phone usage every day on average. There's no doubt that time quickly and time imperceptibly slips too often through our fingers. When it comes to salvation, I just want you to think, if you're not a Christian, I want you to think of how much time has elapsed since you first heard the gospel. You know, there may be children listening to the message. I know that there are. And you've heard the gospel from earliest days. A mother and father have taken to heart the God-given task of training you up in the things of God and in the way that you should go. They've spoken to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. They revealed and spoke and catechized you in the truth of God's Word. They at times have spoken about the Saviour's life and then His death upon the cross, and then they have brought the challenge home to your heart about how you need to trust in Him personally for salvation. They have told you that their salvation is not sufficient for you. They've reminded you that salvation is a very personal thing. When God deals with the individual in the gospel, troubles the soul, causes the heart to become anxious about spiritual things, and by the Spirit brings the sinner to that point of conviction of sin and to that moment of decision, and they've reminded you that you personally, as even a child, must trust in Jesus Christ for salvation if ever you're to be in heaven. That godly counsel then be reinforced by what you've heard in a Sunday school class from a godly Sunday school teacher or in a children's meeting. So let me ask the boys and girls listening this afternoon, what have you done about God's salvation since you first heard about it? Is it the case that you're still not a Christian despite having heard the gospel? I would say to every boy and to every girl that you're guilty. You're guilty of wasting your time as much as an adult is when it comes to God's salvation. For the boys and girls, God would say to you this afternoon, behold now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. Are you a Christian? Do you know God? Are you saved? There may be some teenagers and young people listening to this gospel message, and you're no stranger to the gospel either. While your classmates at school and your work colleagues at your place of employment, while they are ignorant of the truths of God's Word, you know them well. You know them so well that you could even preach the gospel to them, even though you have not yet responded to God in the gospel, but you're not a Christian. Oh, no, no, no. You're too busy. Too busy chasing some boy or some girl. So taken up with maybe a new car or some motorbike. Too distracted by your gaming successes or your career development to be thinking about eternal matters and the matters of life and death. I tell you, young person, you're as culpable when it comes to wasting your time as an adult is. You've frittered away so much time, has it not the case, on pointless activities, that the seasons of gospel opportunity that have come to you have been missed all too frequently by you. How sad it would be if I'm speaking to some teenager this afternoon, and you're more interested in the level you've reached in Minecraft or Grand Theft Auto, or how pimped your car is compared to some other young person that you know, than you are about your soul's salvation. What a sad and what a pitiful plight for you to be in if all you're concerned about are these things. And then what about you adults? You're listening to this gospel message. Is it not true that you've wasted time, so much time, in pointless pursuits and worthless activities in light of eternity? I want you as an adult to think of how much time has elapsed since you first were introduced to the gospel. Maybe you've known the gospel all your life. For others, you were maybe not exposed to the gospel until later on in your life. Maybe it was a gospel mission. You were in your 20s, your late teens, maybe into your 30s, even into your 40s. And it was the first time you ever heard the gospel being brought to your heart and to your conscience by a faithful gospel evangelist or by a faithful gospel preacher. Or maybe a CD or a DVD was given to you by some friend. Maybe you've only stumbled across the gospel since COVID-19 began spreading across the world. But regardless of when you've come into contact with the gospel, you've still wasted hours. You've wasted days, you've wasted weeks, months, years. I am for some, even decades, living for self and living for sin. The hymn writer said, I've wasted many precious years. I say, sinner, you've wasted too much time already. Think of your life. Think of where you are on that road of life. And consider all the years and the hours and the minutes and the seconds that you've lived in sin. All those weeks and months that, knowing the gospel, you've despised the gospel. You've turned the Savior away on countless occasions. And here you are on the last day of February 2021 and you're still not saved. There's never been a day of salvation for you. The accepted times, those times of visitation, those moments when the Spirit has drawn near and convicted you and troubled you about your sin, you've never received, you've never embraced, you've never made good on those days. And here you are, still in your sin, still bound for hell, still on the road to God's eternity. Don't think the family would mind, but we had the funeral service here this week of Mrs. Moffat. Mrs. Moffat came to faith in Jesus Christ in 1975 at the Ballymena Town Mission. Dr. Paisley preached that. Her son was in with her just a few days before she was promoted to glory. And he asked his mother just one more time, Mother, you're saved. Oh, she said, yes. She says, that's the main thing. And so it is. It's the main thing. I say it's the only thing. To be saved. To look back to a moment, to look back to a day. You may not know the date. You may not know the hour. But to look at a moment, a juncture in life, as it were, a signpost stands as a memorial to say, that was the day of my salvation. Can you look to a day? Can you look to a moment, sinner, when you turn from your sin and you embrace Jesus Christ in the gospel? I say, no better time than now to be saved. Because you've already wasted enough time as it is, sinner. If you're going to be saved yourself, and then do all in your power to see your family converted, then there's no time like the present. Or as the other statement goes, sinner, strike while the iron's hot. And so I put it to you, will you be saved now? Not now at the end of the meeting. I mean now. At 25 minutes to 5, will you be saved now? Where you sit, whether in a car, whether in a home, in a living room, in a bedroom, in a study, whether in a lorry, wherever you're listening to this message, will you be saved now? Now! Will you lift your heart to God now? Will you cry to God now? Will you say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, now? Will you be converted now? Will you be reconciled to God now? Will you be brought to that place where you are translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son? Now! Now! You've already wasted enough time. This service is 35 minutes already long. 35 minutes closer to hell. 35 minutes closer to the grave. 35 minutes closer to the judgment seat of Christ. 35 minutes closer to eternity, sinner. Now. Now. Be saved now. Just where you are. Call upon Him. Let us know. Confess Christ. Our text says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now. It's repeated. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Will this day, the 28th of February 2021, will it be the day of your salvation? In the second place, there is no better time than now for you to be saved, because there may not be much time left for you to be saved. There may not be much time left for you to be saved. While our first point had us looking to our past and thinking of how much time we have already wasted, this second point now causes us to look into the future and see what time we may have left. And I say, sinner, you might not have much time. You might not have even to the end of this service. Who among us know how much time any of us have left? Much time we really have left on earth? I believe, folks, that we all think that we have longer than we actually do. But the psalmist would make this request to God in Psalm 39 verse 4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Elsewhere, in the book of Psalms, we are encouraged to number our days, that we may apply our hearts on to wisdom. As we think about the reality that there may not be then much time left for you to be saved, I want to draw your attention to three events that may overtake you and thus rob you of the opportunity to be saved from your sins. Three events that may overtake you and thus rob you of the opportunity to be saved from your sin. The first event that may overtake you and rob you of the opportunity to be saved is the decline of health. The decline of health. Now we all hope to end our lives in good health and with a sound mind. But let me ask you, how realistic really is that? To end life in good health and with a sound mind, how realistic is that really? With Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease and dementia so common, with strokes and other illnesses affecting the cognitive function of the brain, none of us can be sure that we will end our days on earth with clear minds, that we'll have the ability of processing the biblical facts that are required when it comes to trusting in Christ for salvation. And what are those facts? Fact number one, all are sinners. Fact number two, no sinner in and of themselves can do anything about their sin. Fact number three, Jesus Christ has done all that is possible to save a sinner from their sin if they are but willing to repent of their sin and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. I say to you, sinner, there is the possibility. I'm not saying how great the possibility is, but there is the possibility that you might end up in a vegetative state, locked up in some coma, with no ability to confess your sin or to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, I know that that all sounds depressing. I know it does. But folks, look into your family. Look into your family history and see how many of your loved ones ended their life with a clear mind. I would suggest to you that not many do. Not many do. So would it not then be wise for you, when the mind is clear, when the cognitive function is as it should be with regard to the brain, with respect to your health, in being in such a sound state of health tonight, would it not then be wise for you to flee to Christ for refuge and trust in Him for salvation? Lest health, the declining of health, would overtake you, and you never reach the point whereby you're able to even process in your mind what it is to be a sinner and what it is to need a Savior. And there you are. And you're living as if you were back as a little infant or a little child because you've unfortunately been overtaken with dementia or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or whatever other brain declension and health of the mind you care to mention. Oh, would it not be wise for you to now, whenever you're able to process it all, sinner, for you to be saved? And there I would be, standing at your bedside, trying to speak to you about salvation, and you wouldn't even know what I was talking about. I would suggest to you that there's no better time than now to be saved, when you have your senses about you, because health, both physical and mental health, can so quickly decline and reach to a point that all reason is gone. This is one of the reasons why Solomon said these words in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." So the decline of health may overtake you. The second event that may overtake you and rob you of the opportunity to be saved is the drawing near of death. I don't need to tell you that death has an outstanding success rate. One out of every one die. As the woman of Tekoa said to King Saul, we must needs die. Death is but the only thing that we can be truly sure of in this life. I'm going to die. You're going to die. And you need to make preparation for eternity before death overtakes you. Don't put your head in the sand and think that you can wish away death, for you'll not be able to. Death is drawing nigh for us all. You need to be confronted with that fact. And you need to prepare for the day of your death. In England, there lies a sleepy little village called Eames. In 1665, the village was struck by its own version of coronavirus, the pneumonic plague, otherwise known as the Black Death. The plague in that little village arrived through some cloth that was delivered to the town's tailor from the city of London, where the plague was causing widespread death. Shaking the cloth on its arrival, plague-laden fleas were released into the air. Within 2 days, the tailor was dead. The rector of St. Lawrence's Church in Eames, a man by the name of the Reverend William Mompenson, knew that they needed to quarantine the entire community, or the plague would sweep through Derbyshire and then throughout the rest of England. So what happened was that little village went into social isolation, lockdown. No one allowed in, nobody allowed out. The church was closed, services suspended, and everyone that died had to be buried by their loved ones, either in their garden or in the surrounding fields. By the 14th month of the outbreak, approximately 260 people had died, a third of the population of the village. But they contained the outbreak, and the north of England was spared. If you go to that little village today, half a mile outside the little village of Eames, in the middle of a field, there stands what is known as Riley Graves. They house that little stone round structure houses the earthly remains of the Hancock family who lived at Riley Farm. In the space of a single week, in August 1666, Elizabeth Hancock, the wife and the mother of the home, lost her husband and six children. On one of the large slabs that covered the graves in that little place, you'll find the following inscription: "Remember man as thou goest by. Remember man that thou shalt die." What a stark message that grave inscription carries. The fact that each one who reads it will die someday. Remember man as thou goest by. Remember man that thou shalt die. Institutionalizing death. What I mean by that is taking death out of the public realm and hiding it behind the closed doors of hospitals, hospices and care homes. Institutionalizing death has seen to it that we have forgotten, by and large, that we're all drawing near to death. But no matter how hard we try to conceal death, it's all around us. Death is all around us. There's a verse of a hymn that does not appear in the version of that hymn in our own hymn book that speaks of the drawing nigh of death and the need to make preparation for death. The verse of that hymn goes as follows: "Time is glidly swifting by, death and judgment draweth nigh, to the arms of Jesus fly be in time. Oh, I pray you count the cost, ere the fatal line be crossed, and your soul in hell be lost, be in time." Remember, sinner, there's no salvation beyond the grave. No day of opportunity beyond the grave. No day of salvation beyond the grave. And therefore it is for you now to repent and believe while Christ is to be found. I trust in this accepted time. Today, you'll make this day the day of your salvation. Lest death would overtake you tonight. Sinner, what you intend to do with Christ, do quickly. For time is short. And while you're halting between two opinions, death could come. Seize the present moment. Break off your sins by repentance. Renounce all confidences in your own righteousness and trust in Christ and trust alone in the atoning sacrifice of Christ as your only hope of heaven, because death may be coming. There's a third event that may overtake you quickly. This event may rob you of your opportunity to be saved, and that to be saved, and that is the decreed second coming of Christ. In the eternal purpose of God, God has decreed a day and God has decreed the hour when the Son of God will return to this world. At the Father's command, the Son of God will leave heaven and will appear in His glory. All events, all of earth's events are moving towards that climactic event in earth's history. Now for you who are unsealed, the day of Christ appearing will be a day of revelation. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7 and 8. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. And the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." It is a day of revelation. It is a day of realization. Revelation 1 verse 7. "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also who which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. It is a day of realization. Yes, Christ will be revealed. It will be then a day of realization that I'm lost, that I'm unregenerate, that I was never converted, that I have never put my trust and faith in Christ. Yes, and then it will be for you a day of retribution. Romans 2, 5 and 6, but after the hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds all the retribution. Oh, the meeting out of justice against you, the sinner, knowing not the day then, knowing not the hour of his appearing. Sinner, you need to act. You need to act as if Jesus Christ could appear before this service is over. In light of Christ's imminent appearing, it is imperative then that you make this day the day of your salvation. Lest the eastern skies burst open and Christ appears in all of His glory and you have no more time to repent, no more time to believe the gospel, no more time to trust in Christ. Time will be no more. And you will have missed the day of salvation. In the third and final place, there is no better time than now for you to be saved, because all has been done to make salvation possible for you. Just think of all those projects that you have in your mind that you want to do, but yet you've had to put those projects off because things were not found in a ready state. Maybe materials needed to be purchased for the project. Maybe some preparatory work had to be performed and done. Maybe some tradesman has to be contacted and brought in and a date put in the calendar for their coming to do the work. Maybe some survey has had to be completed. Maybe plans have to be drawn up. Maybe finances have to be secured for the project, and thereby the project is delayed. Thereby the event, thereby that which was to be done cannot be done because things are not found in the ready state that they ought to be in order for the completion and for the furtherance and the completion of the task. However, when it comes to God's salvation, in the words of the banquet host that we read off there in Luke chapter 14, all things are now ready. In the gospel, all things are ready. God has done all necessary to save sinners from sin and from hell. And what has He done? Well, in the person of His own dear Son, He has lived a righteous life, and thereby He has kept the precept of the law for every trusting sinner. Not only that, but He has died an atoning death, and thereby He has met the penalty of the law for every trusting sinner. What more then needs to be done, sinner? The work is done. Redemption's plan has been executed to the very last point. Yes, and to its full culmination and to its completion, Christ has done the work. He has fulfilled the law. He has died for sin. He has risen from the dead. He has secured righteousness for us. He has paid the ransom price for sin. He has paid the sin debt. So I put it to you one more time. What more needs to be done? It's all done. On the cross He cried, "Tetelestai," it is finished, signifying the work of redemption was complete. Redemption's plan needs no improvement from you, sinner. It needs no additions from you, the sinner. It doesn't need some tweaking by you, the ungodly. The work is done. All things are ready. God is willing. God is able. God is ready. I thank God, and He will save you. So will you be saved? We read in the previous chapter what He has done. In the verse 21, "For He hath made Him," for God the Father hath made Him, the Son, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." So will you be saved? Reconciliation has been secured. You can be reconciled to God. God has already reconciled God to man and man to God, but has He reconciled you? Are you one who has been reconciled to God through the death of Jesus Christ? Yes, all things are now ready in the gospel, but not only that, not only are all things ready in the gospel, all persons in the Godhead are ready. What do I mean by that? Well, can I say to you, sinner, that God the Father stands ready. He stands ready to receive you. If you come to Him through His Son. The Father's ready. The Son's ready. God the Son stands ready to cleanse you from your sin. If you would only but apply to Him in faith. The Holy Spirit is ready. Ready to dwell in your life. And all that believe in Christ, He is ready to come and take up His abode and make your body the very temple in which He will dwell. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all persons in the Godhead. They're ready. They're ready. And it is because all things are ready, and because all persons are ready, that Paul then is able to say these words in chapter 6 in the verse number 2. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, if any part or person with regard to redemption's plan was missing, any just demand of the law that was left fulfilled, the apostle couldn't have said, now is the day of salvation. No, he couldn't have said it, because there would be something missing. Salvation's plan would be incomplete, but there is nothing outstanding that remains, sinner. All things are ready. All you must do is come, repent, believe the gospel. That's all. And so the question is, will you do that? With the work already having been done by Christ, will you trust in that work to bring salvation to that soul of yours? Christ's finished work makes salvation possible for you. It is then for you to receive that salvation in an act of faith. Yes, Lord, I am the sinner. Yes, I am undone. I am unclean. Yes, I am guilty. And yes, I have broken Thy law. But Thou hast died for sinners. Thou hast died for me. Lord, come into my life. Cleanse my sin away. I receive You now as my Lord and my Master and as my Savior. Fill me with Your Spirit and make me and help me live the Christian life. You know, Satan will say to you, tomorrow. But God says here twice, now. Salvation, that which is so greatly needed by you, and that which is so graciously provided by God, can be yours just now if you would walk the Calvary road. If you would come to the cross where salvation was secured to make a day of salvation possible for you. May God the Holy Spirit, may He convince you that now is the accepted time. May He convince you that now is the day of salvation. Come to Christ. Be saved. Make this day your salvation day. Make the 28th of February 2021 your spiritual birthday. May you come to Christ. May you be saved just now. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Want to greet the people out there in the car park. If you just give us a few moments, we'll be out there at the gate. We're just so glad of your fellowship in the gospel. We don't take it for granted. You're not a Christian. You're concerned about spiritual things, then please make contact via the messenger there or by ringing down to the manse, 028-25-821-765. 028-25-821-765. I'll be there in about 30 minutes from now. If God has spoken to you, send an email. Whatever we can do to help, we'll make this the day of your salvation. Our loving Father, we commit into thy keeping the results of this meeting with thee. How we stand here aware that there are those maybe watching in, listening, who are not yet converted. They've never had their day of salvation. They've never come to thee. Save them, Lord. Rescue them. May they be reminded of all the events that could so overtake them that the day of opportunity is missed. The line is crossed. And they are forever lost. Save the lost. Work by thy Spirit. And in doing so, glorify thy Son. We offer prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.